This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. My name is the Ted Smith. I'll be hosting this here podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
In the bottom square, coming live from Juanita. Goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Juanita in the house. What's going on? Cobb, that threw me. I wasn't expecting you to shout out my hometown. But hell yeah, man. Dematha Catholic, let's go.
Cobb, I blame you. Last week on the men's room, we had a topic about, like, what do people, like, get on your names about? So, like, somebody called in and said their name was Brandy. Like, I'm not going to start singing Brandy the song or whatever. But some guy calls in and says his name was Sean Paul. And I just go, Sean DePaul. God damn it, I don't even like him that much. It's just because I hang out with you.
Dude, Sean DePaul is a great artist, man. Underrated. Same with who did I get into recently? Oh, I've been listening to a lot of Pitbull while I run recently, too. Honestly, underrated guy.
All right, well, let's go over to the original Mr. Worldwide. Matt Cover, the producer of CTV. Wow. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted, thanks for that intro. I mean, yeah, I enjoyed the title before Pitbull came along and stole it, but, you know.
You know, I bet you and Pitbull are actually pretty similar in size.
Dude, I mean, I could see it. He seems incredibly likable. He was in town. We didn't see him, but I regret it a little bit. Hopefully I'll catch him next time. He's like, I like seeing, you know, a short, like, you know, bald dude just crushing it. Like, it's fun. It's good energy.
Like, it is. And like, there's a lot of rappers and entertainers I like, but I'm like, I don't think they'd be cool to hang out with. Pitbull, like, gives off the energy that, like, you feel like if you were, like, somehow made it into, like, a VIP room where he was, he'd be like, hell yeah, get a drink, get some champagne. Like, all right, Pitbull, like, I'm in.
Dude, I thought he was tall this whole time. He looks big in all those photos. He's 5'9".
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's 5'9". I bet Matt's probably, like, more swole. That's what I'm saying. Like, Pitbull's, like, our height. And, like, I'd have to imagine. I mean, that dude looks like he's in pretty good shape. I have to imagine shirtless Pitbull is a sight to be seen. So we have some updates on the last cast. Reverse Centaur, that look has gone away.
What do you mean it's gone? Same girl?
No.
Okay, luckily, I was going to say, I didn't want to embarrass her out of that kink, dude. That was a gold mine.
Now, I did have to ask somebody this weekend, like, have you listened to my latest podcast? They're like, no, why? And I was like, good.
Yeah, don't.
But I had a buddy over this weekend, and he was like, where is that horse head? So I had to dig through all my Burning Man stuff. That horse head was like, was not in good shape. So it's the horse head is gone.
Wow. End of an era, some would say. End of an era. That's tough, Ted. How are you doing?
You know, I'm good with it. I forgot I still had it. I was just like, I got these two containers of Burning Man stuff. Dig in there. Is it in there? But it was like, it had like melted together. So you couldn't like open it and put it on.
Ted, your life is a real mystery to me sometimes.
Well, it's also funny. So my buddy was like, dude, I don't care if that was my horse head, whether you had sex in it or not, I'm taking it back. And I was like, yeah. That seems like the honest. It's not like it was all my.
Well, we don't know that. Yeah, I don't know. Matt, would you take it back?
Would I take it back? If you said that right as you were handing it back to me, that was the one thing I wasn't clear about. Like, it was right during the handoff that you were like, oh, by the way, right?
Wait, should we do a quick refresh. So for people who didn't listen to last episode, Ted was using, well, may or may not have been using a latex horse head in the bedroom with a female.
Right. Okay. Everybody knows what these horse heads look like. They were huge a few years ago. So, right. She was like, well, put it on. We're having sex. I was like, all right. And then, Matt, you're correct. During the handoff back to my buddy, I said, oh, hey, by the way, this thing got me laid.
I feel like I got to ask the tough question here, which is, had or have you guys had sex without the horse head, or did she just brown bag you?
Yes, I believe we had, but the horse head was a selling point. I mean, I got a lot of use out of that horse head for a while. Not just sexually. I mean, like, it was funny just to put on. Hey. Like, Jesus Christ.
Bro, we don't kink sham on this podcast, okay? That was rule number four when I started on this thing with you.
And I'm pretty sure somebody might have already bought the domain Mascots Misbehaving. Or Misbehaving Mascots.
That's awesome. Oh, boys, what God, sometimes I forget what we talked about, and then you play it back to me like that, and I'm just, it's embarrassing but fun.
Well, I had kind of forgotten about it too, but then another friend hit me up and was like, that was pretty funny. Mike Hawk was like, yeah, you just nonchalantly dropped that in there. I was like, I didn't think it was a big deal. And then like my other friend who doesn't listen, he was like, well, I'm on this. He's on a text thread with me and everybody's joking about it. So he's like, I'll listen. So then we had to find the horse head one night after a few beers.
Well, dude, you know, I feel like your own skill came back to bite you, because on this podcast, you do a good job of just soothing Matt and I into feeling like we're just having a conversation with you and you alone. So we reveal some of our darkest, most intimate secrets. And I think what happened is Matt and I got so comfortable that you let your guard down and you got comfortable. You got high on your own supply, Ted.
Well, also sometimes with this podcast, right? Because now we do it over Zoom. So like, I'm just sitting in my house. It's not like, I also, full disclosure, I mean, look, if you listen to the Men's Room, like, I don't mind telling stories, but it's also very, I'm very aware of the fact I'm on the air and in a studio. Whereas now we're just kind of kicking it at home. A couple of the fellas talking.
Exactly, man. Like it is like disarming a little bit, you know? Feels like you're just chatting to your friends on Zoom, which obviously dangerous.
All right. This will be, this will be the last, the podcast for the year as we head into the holidays. All right. Yeah. Nice. Cobb, I just assumed one of you guys would have a thought, but no.
Yeah. No, I was going to say first I've heard of it, but I wouldn't want to put you on blast.
It always catches me off guard. So
me too. Yeah. So this is the holiday cast.
It wow. is. It is.
Wow. That just,
okay.
Man, a 10 minute heads up. Good Lord.
Okay. Good. I had four mini, they're smaller ones, Reese's trees before the cast started. So I'm glad I was just being festive.
Yep. I'm pimping some red candy over here too.
They're the mini ones, but God, nice.
So I'm festive.
Yeah. I threw four in the freezer.
I'm sure I could scrounge up a Christmas cookie around here somewhere. It's funny, like people have already started dropping off Christmas cookies at work.
Great.
Like
that's what's up.
Yeah, Ashley came in with like four things of them yesterday, and then I was just like, we got like three more emails. I was like, man, these cookies are good. That peanut butter cookie with the Hershey Kiss in the middle. I mean, that's a top tier Christmas cookie.
What are those things even called? I feel like they don't have a name.
I believe it's a peanut butter blossom.
Peanut butter blossom.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That makes sense to me. I think there was a cookie for Ohio called the Buckeye that was similar to that, but now I don't really remember.
So a Buckeye is a tiny peanut butter ball covered in chocolate.
There you go. See, that's my mascot guy. Mascots misbehaving. Okay.
Well, and it looks like a Buckeye, but those things are delicious.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense because a Buckeye is like a nut, right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you sound like you're on the fence about these Christmas cookies being dropped off. Is it affecting you negatively?
It's awesome. It's awesome. It's just like eat a normal lunch, eat a normal breakfast. And then I feel like this time of the year, it's like, I'll just have three cookies. Just kind of slide those in as well.
I've started to just embrace that I get fat in the winter. You know, I'm probably up like 15 pounds during the popcorn season. And that's just who I am, dude. Ask me what I had for dinner, boys.
What'd you have for dinner?
Taco Bell. Three items, a chalupa, a cheesy gordita crunch, and a taco. That's how we're living out here on the east side, boys. There's drive-thrus everywhere.
Hard or soft?
So the meal comes with a hard taco, but I think under normal circumstances, I may have gone soft, but so it was a hard taco.
Tell you what, there's a special place in my heart for the just standard soft taco from Taco Bell.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, God, this is going to date me and sound weird, but when you could do like 10 taco box. I want to say it was $10. Did you guys have that on the East Coast?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, they still have the party packs. I just don't know what they cost now.
Yeah. The $10 10 taco pack I always felt was just a crazy value. Little did I know.
I mean, to this day, I talk about I got to look up what year it came out. But I remember my brother took me to see Pulp Fiction with like a friend of his. Which was like a crazy movie to see, right? I'm like 12 or 13.
Oh, yeah.
I just remember we went to Taco Bell after that, like 11 o'clock at night, and got double-decker tacos. I was like, I'm an adult. This is what adults do. You go see movies like Pulp Fiction, and you eat fucking late-night Taco Bell.
Yeah, you do what you want. Dude, that double-decker was good, too, man. We used to even make those at the house. My brother was obsessed with them. That's like a soft taco with refried beans wrapped around the shell of a hard taco and then filled like a regular taco, right?
Dude, yeah, and I'm with you. Me and Burris used to try to recreate them when we lived together, too, man. Same thing.
Yeah, that was a real hit item. I feel like Matt got me more into like hype items at restaurants. Like he buys like whatever people are selling, he'll buy crazy ass and he'll take a dice roll.
Dude, did you guys like the Doritos tacos when those came out?
Yes.
They stuck around, right? Like I don't go to Taco Bell regularly enough. I always love Taco Time. But once I moved to Washington, I saw that as a big upgrade. So but the Taco Bell, I always liked their bean and cheese burrito growing up, and then
agreed,
right? Like that was a
staple. Little bean burrito is delicious, man.
God, it's so good. And then, yeah, when the Doritos tacos hit, just like you're saying, Cobb, and then Baja Blast, they had two between the Baja Blast and the Doritos tacos, like two home runs in my book. But
the, what's the Baja Blast?
The Mountain Dew exclusive flavor.
Oh, nice.
Right. I mean, like, it got so big that, like, Mountain Dew was like, we'll give Taco Bell its own flavor.
Yeah, literally both those things stuck around on the menu. So I hesitated to even consider them as, like, you know, but I loved them both right when they came out as the limited edition things. And then, yeah, they're just such homers that, yeah, they're still there.
I mean, I'm not usually huge on specific drinks from places, but that cherry limeade at Sonic, man. Ooh. That thing hits. like yeah. It's worth going to Sonic just to get a cherry limeade.
Oh, boys. Just another holiday cast talking about foods.
I also would be remiss if I didn't mention that I love Taco Time. Great place here in the Northwest. Obviously, like, it's different than Taco Bell, but I feel like Taco Bell is kind of a different urge. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, the Taco Bell urge is, like, more primal. You know what I mean? Like, Taco yeah. Time is a little more refined, and maybe you've been hiking or something. It's a little more, like, Northwest specific. Taco Bell is, like, you know, you're not going in there with a high self-esteem. You're not going in there feeling great about yourself.
Dude. Like,
on your yeah. best day, you're not going to Taco Bell for lunch. But it does sort of satisfy that, like, I want to hide from the world and just, you know, eat this like a rat in my van type craving.
Oh, that sounds very personal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. That's what this cast is all about.
I was just going to shout out Jack in the Box, because I think they probably actually took that spot and they have the tacos. And then it's like, I can get two amazing trashy tacos and a chicken sandwich with bacon. Like, oh, wow. And they had mozzarella sticks for a little while. They always have fun little limited edition things you can add on to the staples. So I would say Jack in the Box actually took what Taco Bell would be for a lot of people for me.
But Jack in the Box and Taco Bell, to me, have the same issue, right? Jack in the Box is actually good burgers and stuff, but they have all those little side items that before you leave, it's like, oh man, I bought like five things.
Yeah, that's true. And Ted shouted out Juanita at the beginning of the cast. I will say Jack in the Box has been holding it down in Juanita for a long time as our only source of late night food. So I've had a bunch of those weird side items that they have. And I think I've told you guys this, but I told you about like the illegal hustle being run out of the Jack in the Box, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So same Jack in the Box. And Matt, you're right. Their tacos are just, they're like dirty, but like they put I'll say it. You know how like you have like a slice of American cheese for burgers?
Yeah.
That's what they put in those tacos before they cook them. Like, it's just like, it's kind of grungy, but like, they're so good, man.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, look, everybody knows I love blondes, right? But once in a while, you just want to watch a video and she's got black hair. She's all tatted up. It just feels dirty. Like, that's what those 99 cent tacos feel like.
Yeah, this sounds personal. Ted, I feel like we've found a new outlet for you in the last 2 weeks, and I feel like you should be spending more time at those like equestrian jumping shows. You know what I mean? Like, I think horse girls could be a real new outlet for you.
Horse girls are insane. Horse women are insane.
I don't disagree with you, Ted, but you know, look, man, we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy. Seal said it best. Okay. And I feel like if ever, I mean, you found a niche, dude. Not every guy has the you know, fortuitous circumstances to find their niche. And like, you could be that guy. You could be that mistake, Ted. Like Palm Springs, man, you're going down there. The polo grounds, big horse show. You know, it's just.
Oh, you give me a week. I'll take a crash course to figure out some polo shit.
I mean, you know, God, I hate to, why do we even get into this, dude? But you know that some of those women have a secret urge to sleep with a man in a horse mask. Okay. We don't, that's not a big stretch to the imagination. Am I wrong here, Matt? Am I talking crazy?
No, it doesn't. No, I don't think it sounds crazy at all. I mean, Ted's.
I could be there, black hair, tattooed, dirty taco.
That's what I mean. It is sort of a weird, you know, proxy for a relationship, you know, having a relationship with a horse, like just a, you know, like riding a horse, whatever. But I just feel like, Ted, we got a real chance to see you shine here, you know, and these things don't come across every day. I mean, this feels like a real opportunity. So, you know, just think about it. Yes, horse girls are crazy, but, you know, crazy girls are good in bed. So it's like 1 + 1, you know, might equal 2.
These are crazy times.
Yeah, these are crazy times, dude. Matt's right. I don't like the kid, but he's got a point.
Lean into it, man. Embrace chaos.
Yep, embrace who you are, dude. Wow.
Crazy times calls for crazy solutions.
Sometimes, man.
Yeah, man. I really found my niche down there at the polo grounds, actually.
Untapped resource.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly, dude. Because everyone, you know, the media, all the guys, the common zeitgeist is that horse girls are crazy. That's where Ted sees the untapped resource.
Yep.
Oh, it's almost too easy.
I see myself getting whipped a lot.
Yeah, look, dude, you know, you're going to have to take some damage. I feel like that's part of the course, but there's some very attractive women in the horse circuit. You know, they're a little crazy, but, you know, you're in your 40s now. I feel like we struck oil. Like, we found an untapped resource. And here in this specific sect of the world, you know, the dating pool is still deep. It's as deep as you want to go, most likely.
Well, everybody knows I have a thirst for equestrian.
We gotta get yeah. This feels like
quench my equestrian thirst.
Oh,
Matt, can you imagine me, you, and Tyler sitting in an equestrian event at the polo grounds,
dude,
in Palm Springs, as I sip my champagne,
dude? I'm
here to quench my thirst for equestrian.
Boys, this is a dating profile, specialty profile waiting to happen around the polo grounds in Palm Springs. I mean, we'll never see Ted again. But wow.
Yeah. I live down here, so it's very easy for me to see. Like, Ted, whatever shirt you're wearing, I don't know if it's actually a V-neck or if the...
Oh, it is.
Yeah, okay. Right? But so instead of a V-neck, you know, I'm just envisioning a collar on that, and maybe it goes a little deeper because it's unbuttoned a few, you know, and you're just, you know, I mean, really putting out the vibes. Like, there's a lot of those, like, it's not all the way to Miami vibes, you know? It's a little bit more, Cobb, how would you say it? I don't want to say distinguished because I haven't really been to Miami.
I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe you hang a horse keychain off of your belt loop or something. Like, just a little something that lets the people who are in the know that you're, you know, like, you're just sending a sign. It's like, you know, you don't want to just fly the flag loud and proud, but you want to have a little something that if that's what women are looking for, you know, hey, Ted Smith's here to help you.
Easy to spot.
Yeah, I say it every year, but just based on this conversation, I feel like next year is going to be a good year for us, boys. I can feel it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to figure out. I'll be like, well, of course, everybody likes Nick Roldan. He's one of the best polo players ever.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I got to be honest. I don't know who that is. Nice, dude.
Ted looked it up after he was done looking up plane tickets.
All right. So me being at the polo grounds in Palm Springs, I'd play it off, be cool, but a little like not where you expect to see me, which brings me to a point I want to bring up tonight. Could Elon Musk have looked more awkward on stage with Dave Chappelle?
Oh, my God. Matt, you can go first, dude.
I don't think he could have. That was, I mean, to be fair, it was hilarious.
It was awesome.
Yeah, just not for the reasons they were expecting. Like, I don't know what they were expecting. But yeah, I mean, I love a good train wreck. It's, you know what I mean? Like, you just, and to have it on that stage, you know, with that big of a crowd, and yeah, it was just very uncomfortable, but I enjoyed every second of it. And I'm glad that dude snuck a phone in there or a camera. Like, that's what I always hear about Chappelle's shows is like, it's, you know, you got to put all your stuff, you know, away or, you know, he's very strict about that. But this person, yeah, got it out there, and God bless him.
I mean, what were they expecting, honestly? He comes on stage, just holds his hands up, and of course, right before he walks out, Dave Chappelle essentially buries him with the intro, "Here's the richest guy on planet Earth." Ooh. Like, that is not going to make people fan. Like, it's not like, hey, here's the guy who, you know, is trying to save the world with electric cars, or here's the guy who's trying to get us to Mars, or here's the guy who's trying to hook our brains up to the internet. It's like, here's the richest guy in the world. Boom, instant boost from the entire crowd. I mean, I don't know what they thought was going to happen, but that was not it. What do you think, Ted?
I think they've spent too much time hanging out with each other and patting each other on the back. And I love Dave Chappelle, but like, Chappelle even sounded awkward. He had to switch to like a kumbaya thing and talk about how rich he was, and he bought him a jetpack. It's like, Twitter is not the real world. And I have said this for a while, like, Twitter's a great source. You can get a lot of info out of it. You can get a lot of info out there. But like, Twitter's not real. So like, when I would read news articles on the web and they would quote people from Twitter, I'm like, that's stupid. That's just somebody saying something. So I think Elon Musk legit thought, because he put out that tweet about his pronouns, like, people are going to be like, oh yeah, get him. And it's like, well, a lot of the bros on Twitter that tell you you're so great are just fucking dweebs.
Talk about Elon Musk reply guys.
Yeah. And then also, Elon, like, nobody in that arena works for you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you always kind of have to clap for the GM, or not GM, but like the president of your company or the CEO. Like, I paid a ticket to see two comedians and you trot him out. Like, who cares?
Yeah, seriously. Like, I have no idea what he thought was going to happen. But yeah, it is. I think it's easy for people to get trapped in like that bubble, you know, where everyone around them is like a yes man and telling them how great they are. And like, that was some raw feedback, man. That was some raw feedback.
Yeah. And like, being rich doesn't make you cool. And like, I mean, look, I could tell you personally, I have a friend who's a hard worker. He's done very well in life and stuff, but he's awkward with people. And like, we would hang out all the time, you know, a decent amount. And I'd always, you know, he'd be like, well, I just don't like talking to people that much and this and that. But with his friends, he was a little more, I don't know, a little more chatty or whatever. And then finally, a couple years ago, he texts me and he's like, I'm watching college football. I'm like, what the hell are you doing watching college football? And he's like, yeah, I need to get out more and like interact with and be a human. Like, yeah, because same thing. He's always working on stuff and he's done great. But it's like, right, like, nobody here works for your company. Like, they're not just going to be built in like, yeah, that was funny. So I think Elon Musk just thought he could walk out there. I think Dave Chappelle thought it too. Like, oh, they'll love him and this and that. And it's like, nobody cares. And nobody's super happy with all the extra ads on Twitter. I also still think like, he just overpaid.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah. I still remember he's like, and like, I know people I know and respect that are like, isn't it funny how he trolls people on Twitter? I'm like, why do you think that? You tell me why it's funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as overpaying, I didn't look at the deal. I didn't look at their, you know, their income or revenue or anything like that. But I would say that there is a level beyond money. Like, if he's, what do you pay, like 30 billion, 38 billion, something like that, right?
44.
Yeah. Okay. So $44 billion. But, you know, there's a level where you're not like, how do I recoup my investment and like make it worth more? There's a level where you're like, okay, how can I, like, I have enough money. How can I control the narrative or the, you know, like political headwinds or whatever? So like, he could make his money back on a tax break 10 years from now from influencing an election. You know, we don't know. But you look at like, right, Jeff Bezos, same thing. He bought the Washington Post, I want to say. Is that accurate, yep, Ted?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, he bought the Washington Post. And it's like, why? It's like, well, all the politicians read that newspaper, you know, like, they probably read the New York Times. A lot of them look at the Wall Street Journal, but they read the Post because they're in DC. So like, you want undue influence? Like, you know, I doubt very much that that newspaper was trading on like a price to earnings ratio that made sense for him to buy it. But it's like, what game is he playing? So that's the only thing I would say in defense of Elon's purchases. One, that's a lot of data to mine for an AI, which he's involved in the AI world with, you know, OpenAI, I think, and, or I'm not sure what's Neuralink and Yeah, I think he did do something with OpenAI. I don't know. I'm a little confused. But anyway, yeah, a lot of data to munch on for an AI. And then, of course, you know, influence of one form or another, which I'm sure, you know, money is just sort of a proxy for power, right? And so he's after power, really. And controlling Twitter is having power to some extent.
It is. I'm also amazed that, like, people go on and on about the First Amendment. It's like Twitter's a private company. So he reinstated some people, and then he got rid of Kanye. Kanye's a fucking Nazi. And I said years ago on this podcast, I am fine. Right? I was like, one form of violence I'm fine with is punching a Nazi. Like, I'm not saying to punch Kanye West. I'm just saying, like, remember the guy a couple years ago in Seattle was wearing a swastika armband and somebody decked him? Like, yeah, there's a reason we all agree on this one. I'm like, right. And I was just at Dachau. Like, people have limited ideas, but I've seen people again retweeting stuff like, can't believe Kanye got kicked off here. Like, I don't agree with his thoughts, but what happened to free speech? And it's like, number one, it's a private company, so has nothing to do with the First Amendment. Number two, he's talking like a Nazi, so that's how you get banned and you're putting swastikas out there. Like, pretty simple. And then, like, if you want to fight or have an argument about that, like, cool, just leave me alone. We have nothing to do with each other.
He put a swastika out there?
Yeah, that's why he got. That's why Elon finally banned him. He was like, you're going too far. And then he put out his DMs with Elon, and he was just like, all right.
Wow, like, all I saw was like the interviews that he did. But yeah, you think about from Elon's perspective, like something like that is power, like that he can cancel people or, you know, increase or decrease their reach. Right. Like, that's a lot of power to affect things. Like, even, you know, maybe who knows if he even knew Kanye, and now he can just, you know, DM Kanye directly or whatever. But yeah, man, Kanye, I don't know. Did you guys see the documentary on Kanye, the 3-part documentary?
No.
It was really good. And it kind of like started to get me into like his early music and his lyrics. And then, of course, right at that time, like 5 months ago, he just went, you know, bat S. And now it's pretty tough for anybody to be on board with that guy at the moment.
Yeah.
how do you think it plays out, Ted? Like, is he gone forever, or do we see a comeback?
I tried for a while because I was a massive fan of his music, but yeah, I what's he going to come back to?
I don't know. I mean, he's done, I think, a decent job of staying in the limelight, whether it's like his ties with the Kardashians or his antics, the Donald Trump stuff, this stuff, whatever. I'm just wondering, like, does he at some point disappear off the radar, or is he still touring and doing concerts and I don't know what else he does and getting attention, basically? Or do you think finally the media is like, we're done with this guy, next?
I mean, I don't think it's the media. I think it's more of just like his audience is just not there. I mean, I thought he was insane when he was doing those Sunday services. I thought it was crazy that he went on TMZ and said slavery was a choice. Like, he's he's done a lot of crazy stuff. I think the stuff with Kim Kardashian is completely insane. It's stalkerish to buy the house next door. And then I'm not surprised he went full Nazi stuff. Like, yeah, like, be done with him. Like, I was always one of those people like, I'll listen to music. Like, now I'm like, I don't even know if I want to listen to his music anymore. So I'm sure he'll still do shows and there'll still be people that show up. But, you know, he's gone. And I'm also sick and tired of people being like, well, he's having a mental health breakdown. Look, crazy people aren't always racist. Like, I think he's in great mental health, but like that stuff. And now you're seeing more stories like he's always had kind of these thoughts. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows somebody that makes like a joke or something, and you're like if you saw that the one guy that makes those jokes all the time and then like is weird and like nah, I'm not shocked that guy got popped for being a racist. The same thing with Kanye. When you go back and look through it, it's like, all right, dude.
Yeah. Wait, I do have one question for you. It's a little bit of a setup, but you know, it's the end of the year, man. Forgive me. Can't fire me until January. Is Kanye West a genius?
No.
Whole answer? Just no.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. That Bill Burr skit from like 2017 or 2016, when Bill Burr was like, the guy calls himself a genius. Talking about one of his greatest regrets is that he never be able to see himself perform. And Bill Burr's like, now imagine,
that, oh my God.
And Bill Burr goes, imagine that's a white guy, you know, like, I can't believe I wouldn't be able to, and he like does like a German accent. And he's like, right. Like Bill Burr called it years ago. Like that stuff is ridiculous to say. And yeah, it's not like, it's one thing to be like, and let's be honest, man. Like I get it. We have friends that all bought them, but like, I still don't think the Yeezy is a good looking shoe.
Okay, like, that's where you get me on board, dude. That's what I've been saying. I feel like I've secretly harbored that for years. And I just wasn't able to say it because I was like, people love these things. No need to like break down anything that people are into. Those shoes are ugly, man. Just right here, right now on this podcast. Yeezys are ugly. Never liked the shoe.
Yeah, and then like his main thing, like when he was doing those Sunday services, I was like, you're selling fucking hoodies? For like $400, and it's like, this is a new look, a baggy hoodie. Like, God damn it. Everybody, like, people have been wearing baggy hoodies for years. Like, so that's what I'm like, no, I don't think he's a genius. I think he's a hell of a producer for music. I think he was a good rapper, but it's like, I mean, it's like, take an athlete. If an athlete says, like, I'm an artist, I'm a genius on the field, like, fine. But I don't know. That statement in itself, I don't know that I think anybody is a genius. I mean, maybe Einstein, but it's like, do I think he's a genius? No. I think he sold a lot of people, and I don't like to use the term the media, but like, right, like that's just the way it goes now. You got to get clicks and everything else. So it's like when Kanye was Kanye, everybody's like, oh, he's this, he's that. And it's like, it's a freaking idiot.
Ted, how could you be so heartless?
All right. I know.
Oh, man.
Well, as long as we're on this topic, anybody else shocked that the Liver King was juicing?
Oh, my God. No, dude. Okay. God, that guy. Dude, I didn't even know who the Liver King was until this whole thing came out. I think I had seen like a thumbnail or something of that guy, but he is just jacked beyond all get out. And like, I feel like I've always had an eye for like who's on the juice. You know what I mean? Like, I just, you know, I swam for a long time. I've seen a lot of guys without their clothes on. Don't clip just that. But yeah, it's like you can just tell when somebody's juicing or on something. So, of
he's
course,
45.
Yeah, Liver King comes out and they're like, make it like a big thing, like, oh, we found out he's on steroids. And it's like, that guy? You had to like go through and research if that guy was on steroids. Like, look at his freaking body. It's like exploding out of his skin. Ted, were you surprised?
I was not. And Rogan had been calling him out for years, but he would go on podcast after podcast and everything was like all natural. What was it? The something, like, I don't know, like, you know, his tenets of what he did because he ate raw meat and he lived like a caveman and this and that. I mean, the dude was making millions, but like, right, Rogan always called him out. And it's like, I've always had this simple theory, right? And actually, I got this one from Miles from the men's room. Like, years ago, we were at the gym. And keep in mind, Miles played college football at West Virginia, right? So that's a high level of athletics. And I go, man, those guys are massive. I wonder if they do steroids. And he just was like, yeah, if you think somebody does steroids, generally they are. So oh, I'm with you. Like, in no way was I shocked the Liver King was juicing.
Yeah, a guy, a 45-year-old with an 8-pack? No.
Dude, I saw people that took them and, like, didn't get that great of results. Like, they just weren't. I was like, really? Huh.
All right. You still have to work hard.
Yeah.
You still got to actually go do the work.
That's what I'm saying. It's like everybody literally pretends like steroids are a magic pill and they're not. But, yeah. Yeah, I'm not defending it. I just, especially when you lie about it, like go out there and be like, yeah, dude, it's fine. Like, I've never heard The Rock try and say he wasn't on steroids.
Yeah. Well, and dude, and this is where I get controversial.
I don't know that he's addressed it though. And listen, Matt, I agree 100%. And like, look, you're not a pro athlete. Like, I don't care. And for injuries, steroids help a lot. Like, and Rogan doesn't lie about all the stuff he takes and everything else. So I'm like, all right, if you want to do a cycle, do it, whatever. But like, people would ask him, be like, this is all natural because I eat raw liver.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That and the steroids. So this is where I take a controversial stance. I think it's going to piss Ted off. But
all right.
So this is where I come to the defense of Lance Armstrong, because Lance Armstrong was on EPO. Okay, which makes you produce more red blood cells. You can carry more oxygen to your muscles and you can take more lactic acid away, right? So major advantage. But like Matt was saying with steroids, or maybe it was Ted, that steroids don't do the work for you. So like EPO is table stakes to even like be in the top 20 guys of the Tour de France. Lance Armstrong also had a storied career of what's it called when there's three events, triathlons, you know, like marathons, all that kind of stuff, and a biological advantage of a massive heart. Some people think that that heart was partially caused by steroids, but his heart is huge. It's like, you know, 1.8 times the normal human heart or something like that. Like, it's massive. So he could pump a lot more blood in and a lot more lactic acid out, you know, more than any other man. So if you think about the fact that all of those guys were on EPO and he ended up winning, like, he ended up winning because of his athleticism and dedication. Now, that being said, I've heard a lot of negative opinions about the personality and the guy himself. And then, you know, of course, I don't like that he lied about it, but I do think that he's still a phenomenal athlete, and that was a pretty impressive feat.
Oh, I agree 100%. Amazing athlete. Like, I think he should keep the titles. I think they were all juicing and doping. And before, here's the main thing, is that for years in my industry, like, there's very few people, like, right, because rock and, you know, rock radio is one thing, pop radio is one thing, but there's some people that cross over and everybody talks to. Lance Armstrong, from every DJ I ever talked to, from the East Coast, West Coast, they were like, that guy is a complete asshole. And that's then when you see, and when you see all the stories about him tearing down his teammates' careers and this and that, like, I don't care that much that he doped, because I think everybody in cycling dopes. You're right. He still went out there and did that. All the guys in baseball hit those home runs. He was just such an extreme a-hole. Like, everybody was happy to see him fall. And then even when he got caught, he kept lying.
Yeah, that was not a graceful fall. And yeah, what you're saying, I've seen a couple documentaries about him too, and people kind of echo those same sentiments. So I think that's pretty on brand. And honestly, you're right. That is a little more unforgivable than steroids. Like, don't be insufferable, you know?
Yeah, like, his heart was super big physically.
Wow. Ted, heartless again. Love it.
Well, it's like we said last year at Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, I don't care if you get the vaccine or not. Cole Beasley, a couple other people were up front about it, but he kind of like talked around it and lied about it. Then it was like, oh, you got COVID. You didn't get the vaccine. You got to sit out. And he's like, the woke mob coming for me. I'm like, shut up.
Ted, dude, I would, yeah, man, I just could watch you do like hot takes all, like, I would love if there was something where like you're live streaming and there's just news stories coming in, just immediate hot take, just shut down, like 20 of them per like 10 minutes, you know, just gone.
Look, I got one more for you. I can't stand the way people use woke. I mean, that was a term that was used exclusively in the Black community and this and that. And then white people started saying it, annoying white people started saying it. And then all of a sudden, now it's like a word, like, oh, these woke politics. I mean, like, fucking dipshit on stage. Elon Musk was like, oh, I guess it's the woke crowd in here, whatever. Like, first of all, like, don't use that term. Like, I don't like it when anybody was using it, right? I mean, so it's just weird how, like, you could take a term like that was, I don't know, not really meant for everybody, start using it, and then turn it against them.
Yeah, that is interesting. I'm going to look up the Urban Dictionary of woke, because I feel like the definition may have changed over time.
I mean, well, I'm sure they have, but I mean, you've heard like Redbone, I stay woke. All right, somebody will know that song.
Cobb has it. I don't know if I want to put my thought, but I'm, It had to do with police brutality and injustices in the system of, like, yeah, stay woke. The cops aren't your friends. Like,
yeah, there's at least 8 different definitions I'm seeing, and they're all pretty accurate. But yeah, it's meant a lot of different things to a lot of groups of people. And yeah, I think everything you guys said is included and more. That is interesting, Ted. I hadn't really thought about how the word had sort of been weaponized against the very people who were using it.
that's what I'm saying. I'm just quoting Childish Gambino with with Redbone. I'm like, yeah, that's in the lyrics. Like, but stay woke.
Yeah.
Anyhow, all right. And I guess that settles this edition of What Grinds My Gears.
It's just a little graphic of, like, you know, your head just smoking out the ears. That's awesome.
Right. You know, before we stop here, but here's the only problem. Here's the other issue is I found out last week. I got to be careful because sometimes anybody will have a hot take, but you don't have all the information. And that can be tough.
Oh yeah, bro. Dude. This podcast operates off no information. Yeah. We're like essentially in a vacuum chamber. Like, I barely will pull something up on the internet or whatever. Like, 98% of the time, I've never even heard of the story that you're mentioning to us. Like, we just throw stuff out there authoritatively, and, like, of course, you know, the big critique of me is I always sound so confident when I'm wrong. And it's just like, dude, yeah, we do zero research. We are, by the true definition of the word, a wealth of misinformation. If you're getting your news here or your opinions, like, you're doing your research in the wrong library, you know. Now, if you want Ted to be your horse daddy, we can hook you up.
All right. We're going to take a break here. We'll be back.
What's up?
Sorry. I just clicked on my Instagram because somebody sent me a message. And then I clicked back to mine. And my Instagram knows me well. Just the size of the breasts on that woman. So I just went, God damn. Like, if you open up my search thing, it is just dudes with beards cooking food, super hot women, and then, like, some weightlifting stuff. Like, that's all they suggest to me now.
Love it.
Dude, you literally always say the best stuff when we're on break. Like, all your best material. That's hella funny.
I mean, like, God, when I see you next week, I'll show you, like, I'll just open my Instagram and put in the search, and you'll be like, yep, that's about what I expect.
And I feel like giant food too, like, if there's like a giant pizza or something,
right? So that's the thing. All right, welcome back. Matt, you can leave the part in about Instagram. Okay, so we're talking about my thanks to our sponsors as always.
Thank you guys really
so much,
keeping us alive out here.
That is ridiculous how quickly I just kind of, like, nonchalant throw that in. We're talking about Instagram and the algorithm, right? So mine just knows what I'm watching, but I watch a competitive eater and her boyfriend. So I think that's why I get a lot of crazy food stuff. And shout out to Cooker of Deliciousness. I haven't made any of his recipes, but I love that dude. And Cooking with Daryl. Are you kidding me? But then, yeah, the women. Like, I mean, I just followed a girl from Argentina that's blonde hair, massive boobs. Like, I can hit the translation. I just know she's at the World Cup. I don't give a crap what she's actually saying.
Yeah, it's always like a simple quote, you know, like, let others live, or like, love is the way. And you're just like, you're just a hot chick on a yacht. Of course you can say that.
Right. Then I follow a couple like personal trainers and stuff. So, I mean, that's like, my whole thing is just like dudes cooking crazy food, hot chicks, and somebody teaching you a technique in lifting.
That honestly sounds so on brand, dude. Matt, if there was another, you spent some time on the gram. If there was another Instagram category for Ted, what would you sneak in there? Like, you're trying to dethrone one of his interests on there.
Oh, I mean, I was thinking if he followed any, like, weather or, like, cloud photo, like, photography. You know, like, there's
not on Instagram. Now on Twitter, sure. Shout out to Seattle Weather Blog,
yep.
North Bend Weather. I don't even live in North Bend. Like, I follow a lot of stuff on Twitter, but Instagram is just for, like, for me, it's like, I either know you, you're hot, you can cook food, or you can show me how to get fit.
Man knows what he wants. Who can argue with that?
And you don't need to speak English if you're hot. I'm not saying I'll click the translation. But
no, dude, some of these women in other countries would, like, They'll
Dios
have
like, mios.
Yeah, Dios mio. Exactly, dude. Like they will have like, you know, chupa mi. they'll have like 3,000 followers, and you're just like, this is the most attractive woman I've ever seen in my life, and she's spending all of her time taking photos. How is this happening? And I feel like that's just a billionaire thirst trap. Like I feel like the only reason that's out there is like an advertisement. It's like, if you're a billionaire with a yacht in the Mediterranean, slide into my DMs. I'm looking to make a life. I'm looking to leave Romania in the dust.
So I also get a lot, and I think it's because like the Cooker of Deliciousness, he's Southern. I want to say Cooking with Daryl. I don't know if he's Southern. He's in Arizona a lot. But like I follow a girl named Brandy that cooks in the South. So now I get hot chicks from other countries that are like into sports, but I get a lot of like cowgirls. And you'll click on it, and it's like they have like hundreds of thousands of followers. And I'm like, what? Is the whole shtick is that she's a cowgirl and she's hot?
That's what made you click.
Oh, true.
Yes, I'm that is helping. The shtick. That is the shtick, horseman. But Ted, that's what I'm saying. You have a very profitable niche right now. They're like, literally smash cut to 1 year from now, and some girl is like, you know, it's like one of those like female podcasts. There's three chicks, and they're like, so is his whole shtick that he just wears the horse head while he takes photos of himself? And they're like, yes, it's so hot. God, he just covers himself in different oils and butters and things, and you know, different horse heads at different equestrian shows around the country. He's got a line of women who love to ride horses waiting to ride him. It's crazy. Like, the man found his niche, dude.
Reverse centaur.
Reverse centaur strikes again. Oh yeah, that's the Twitter handle for sure. Centaur.
reverse centaur.
Oh god, that's awesome. Yeah, in. I'll be your first subscriber. I love this journey for you, Ted. This is how you meet your wife, dude. Straight up. It's 2022. We gotta start thinking outside the box. Okay, we gotta, the way I dunk on you is gonna be unorthodoxed.
All right. Well, I didn't even ask you, how many emails do we have?
We got four.
All right, let's get to them. What do you have, a little Sour Patch Kid?
Sorry, is that coming through the mic? A little strawberry Sour Patch.
No, I just saw you chewing, and that's one of my habits. You guys, If I see somebody with food or like even on the phone, I'll be like, what are you munching on? And they're like, oh, sorry, man. Is that annoying? I'm like, no, I just care.
what are we up to over there? What are we doing?
I had a piece of turkey bacon during the break.
Gentlemen, in the many faces of Ted Smith line of action figures, the reverse centaur has to be most prestigious one in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
I've never been able to look at one of those horse head masks. I'll never be able to look at one of those horse head masks the same way ever again. Carson the lawyer.
You're damn right, Carson. It's called the Ted effect.
Dude, honestly, that I'm with it, man. I mean, I love the idea of a line of Ted Smith action figures, but like that does seem like a really rare catch, like the reverse centaur, like limited edition, only 10 made in North America.
They're not even legal in Canada.
Hold on. Wait,
or okay. Utah.
Gentlemen, let's talk more about Mr. Goodbar. Nah, I'm just joshing y'all.
Oh.
All the best in all the land.
All the land. Everybody on the podcast or on my show, The Men's Room, we got into a heated argument with like Jason, you know, the voice direct VD, and like it turned into a whole thing. And it's like, and then finally I just went, wait a minute, why don't you guys just listen to my goddamn podcast? Like, I get it. I got people chirping me. And Jason's like, well, no, you could find Mr. Goodbar here and there. And I said, we had an email. I now know you can find Mr. Goodbars. And the email ended with, it should be Mr. Throw It in the Trash or something.
Dude,
wait, you guys were talking about it at the office independently of the podcast, unrelated?
Well, it came up because I was like, hey, Mike, did you listen to the latest thing of the podcast? And then I started talking about seasonal candies. Mm. And I said, Mr. Goodbar. And this launched into a whole argument. And after about 10 minutes, I was like, all right, hang on. I have been through the weeds on this one on my podcast. You guys can spend 45 minutes to an hour and just listen to it.
Yeah, boys, I've done the research. We've earned the hard yards, you know, out there on the cast. Like, just Mr. Goodbar is doing fine. He's good and plenty.
Also, has anybody else been looking for Mr. Goodbar now when you go to the grocery store?
I haven't seen him once.
Did Dude,
either
yeah.
Have I, Matt. Just he's in okay. That, he's in that goddamn variety pack.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I'll step in Mr. Goodbar's defense. So I did specifically go to Safeway to see if they had Mr. Goodbar's, and I was trying to get a Symphony bar, which I don't know if you guys have had. It's a thing from Hershey. It's like a little bit more expensive than a Hershey bar, 10 times better. I've talked about it in the cast before, so we don't need to go into it. But Symphony bars, completely sold out. Mr. Goodbar, completely in stock, not one missing in the box. And I was like, okay. So they're still available, but are they utilized? Don't email us.
I know. I was like, we'll pick this up in 2023. I don't know, have any more energy this year for it.
I can't handle that good bar smoke right now, boys. It's not during the holidays, you know. Hey fellas, big ups to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Last week you guys brought up Matt's infamous date from years ago and his close call with Tina. Just wanted to let you know that the correct terminology is transgender or transgendered woman. In this case in particular, I've also been told that T-girl or T-boy is fine. So I think you're fine there. But I'd try to avoid the term you guys used last week, as I've been told in the past that it's rather offensive. Okay. He puts the term here. Wait, that's affected? I'm actually surprised. So I don't know if you guys remember what I said. We don't need to say it again, but I'm actually surprised, because that to me seems like a more medical / like Oxford Dictionary type term, the one I'm reading here. I could say it. Would you guys feel like the term transsexual would be the most offensive?
No, I mean, I brought it up because I thought T-girl was wrong.
Yeah, T-girl seems like slang.
I am not sure.
Yeah. Neither am I. And, you know, obviously I don't want to offend anyone, but it seems to me like that term, based on the reading of it, seems like the most sort of like clinical specific terminology for it. I mean, I guess I'm not part of that community, so I don't know what's considered offensive, but I'm surprised that that's the one that people would take offense to versus the other ones.
Who's it from?
Just wanted to help clear things up as we get ready to shoot into 2023, aka the year y'all become the wealth of information, aka the brand new year of the hustle, aka you do you boo boo part two, electric boogaloo. Take care, boys. Mikey Dubs.
All right. See,
that was a great sign off for an email. Yeah, I just wanted to interject.
Mikey Dubs, you're right. I'm gonna have to do more research on this one.
Mikey Dubs is always good with those.
I was like, ah, Christ, we might have screwed that one up.
Well, I got to assume if he emailed us that he knows what he's talking about, not because like, you know, listeners of the podcast are amazingly brilliant or anything, but because I feel like you wouldn't go that far out of your way unless you knew what the hell you were talking about. You know, obviously we don't.
Yeah. I will say this. For instance, the bar I go to around here, one of the bartenders, her roommate's friend is transitioning. Right. So I was pretty sure about that. So I made a point to be like, because here's the other thing. Like, I say it to women. I just say guys all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And like, okay. I've dated girls. They're like, you say guy. I'm like, yeah, I know. I just say guy. Like,
yeah, it's like ustedes.
I'm not calling you. Right. So like, her roommate is a male, but I thought this person was transitioning. So I kept catching myself. So we're all playing darts. And I was like, I don't want to say, guys, I don't care. So then I finally asked her, I go, I should be saying she, correct? She was like, yes. I was like, all right. So like, I tried to be aware of it, but if we use the wrong term, that's on us.
Well, somewhat. I mean, it also depends on if you're using it in a pejorative sense, in my opinion, like one, you know,
I'm not positive what that means.
Well, like using it to like hurt them or using it, you know, weaponizing, like using it in an inflammatory way. I mean, like, you know, I could both say that you are like a short man, and I could be saying that as a descriptive term, or I could be saying that to hurt your feelings, right? If you Correct. Take it that your feelings were hurt by that. So that's, I think, sort of the, you know, the idea of pejorative, but
I thought you were talking to me.
I feel like, boys, we're all tall on this cast.
Ease up there, Pitbull.
I love Zoom. Pitbull.
Nice. No, yeah, but I've always, my problem with the English language is that most languages have a term for you all, like Spanish, for instance, it would be ustedes, or that's why, you know, living in Austin, of course, people say y'all, and it's because we lack a part of speech for saying you guys. In Philly, they say yous guys, you know? And so I actually, Ted, agree with you that I think saying guys is not a gendered term in that context. In my opinion, you know, that you could say guys to refer to a group of people, and it's pretty well accepted, you know, in terms of like common parlance. So at least in the Northwest.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a term I use all the time, right? If there's a group of people, I'll just be like, guys, come on.
Right.
Let's chill out, you know?
Yeah. Like more aggressive would be if you're like, hey, fellas, you know, like that's okay. That's like, you know, you're calling them males, but yeah, guys, it's like, if someone's getting offended by that, I feel like they're looking for a fight personally.
Yeah. Right. If there's a group of people and we're trying to go somewhere, I'd be like, hey guys, let's get going.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's, right,
this is a bar crawl, not a bar stay.
When we talk about subjects like this that we don't know anything about, every single line, I'm just like, if that gets clipped, like at some point in the future, like just instantly, whatever career I've built up is gone. Even though like we're not saying anything bad, but if you were to take just a sentence rather than obviously the whole idea, whatever, you know, it's all contextual, boys. Greetings to the greatest podcast. Wait for it. In all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
That's how he wrote it out. I don't know. I think you should go a little deeper on thepodcast.com. It is crazy that I don't think I've ever heard of this website, even though I've been a listener since day one, minus all the podcasts you did before you uploaded them. There's straight up nothing. I just laugh because I know he's right. There is straight up nothing on this website except for a reference to the meetup that I can't even remember what year it was on. I'm going to go out on a lemon and say that it's at the absolute earliest December 2019, since there's been a bit of a global situation as well as two of the members just straight up giving up on Washington State. On that subject, are you guys ever going to meet up in the same location at the same time again? We need to have a live cast, whether you allow civilians or it's just the three of you back chilling again. I'm honestly curious if submitting this email through this website is going to go anywhere. If it is, then all I have to say is LARP on. Go Hawks and cheers to the greatest podcast. Wait, I already did that. Barton Bellingham, patient zero of the podcast.
All right, that's a good email. And it came
that's
through.
That's a great email.
That's hilarious.
Here's the issue, man. We produce content.
Dude.
After that, it gets a little fuzzy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I built that website in like an hour because we needed something. Oh, if we needed an email submission portal. But yeah, it's a super old school photo of us. I could update it if y'all want. I mean, I think I could put the old episodes and stuff up on there. That wouldn't take me too long. I have to wait and do it after Christmas, though, because we're busy with popcorn. But he's right. Our website is absurd, boys. I don't know if you've been on there lately. I don't even think I built a mobile version, but it's wild.
I got to come by the shop, by the way. I got to get some popcorn before Christmas.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And also, I like how you talk about all these clips that could destroy your business. And the reality is, like, I feel like the listeners have been pretty good for Cobb's popcorn.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. And, you know, I mean, I feel like we say things that in isolation are inflammatory. But if you know us at all or know the context, I mean, we are all love towards any group of people. So, yeah. And we've said that repeatedly. So,
oh, I think it's the opposite. I think if anybody was going to get on us, it'd be the other side. Like, I don't think any
we're too loving.
Right. Just like these hippies from Seattle originally.
Yeah, well, you know, anything can be taken out of context. I feel like I see it all the time in like Senate hearings and stuff. They're like, in 1992, did you say whatever? It's like, I might have. I don't know. I was smoking a lot of weed and eating a lot of sourdough gummies at that time, you know? I meant sour patch gummies. I was like, dude, I'm not going to address it. I feel like it'll just slip by the boys. Yeah, sour patch gummies.
I was like, there's a candy that tastes like sourdough bread and it's chewy.
And you know those like little candy burgers that they make?
Yeah.
I don't know what's worse. It's like you thought it would just slip through, or Matt and I are both just frozen. Like, wait a minute, sourdough gummies. Tell me more.
How would I have not heard about this?
Right? Actually, dude, over here, I got brioche gummies.
Yeah.
Falling.
All right. Well, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Well, this weekend, I made some homemade focaccia gummies.
I mean, those are, let's be honest, those are the top three breads.
Really delicious. Yeah. We did nail it. So this weekend, Friday, I don't know. We were chilling. It was a cool weekend. Saturday, I went up to Tyler and I had plans that night that I'll get to in a minute. And then Tyler was like, let's go up to Idlewild, you know, because it's going to start snowing up there. And we don't have chains because we're desert people. So it was like, all right, cool. Make one last trip up to the little mountain town till we don't know when. And then, yeah, we just did some Christmas shopping, got some soap. We got a soap spot up there. And, you know, it was great. That was like a last minute, like, I'm trying to think when she said that. She might have said that at 1:00. And we had somewhere to be at 5:00, like 10 minutes away from my house, which was, we went over to have dinner with Carson, the lawyer, and his lovely girlfriend. Carson nice. Made some awesome brisket. And yeah, we had a,
how'd he cook it?
He has a, Instapot. The, right. Yeah. The pressure cooker type thing. Yeah. And he nailed it. It was awesome. So we had that. He's been crushing it. He's been swimming a bunch down here, even in the cold ass morning. So, you know, it was just, I don't know. I hadn't seen him in person in a while. It was a lot of fun to just kind of catch up. I think our girlfriends are friends too. It, you know, they're getting there. I don't know. Carson and I have a lot to talk about every time. So it's like, I got them to the ladies exchange number. So it's cool. I don't know. It's
a bonus.
Yeah. It was a fun night. You know, I think we'll see him again this weekend and exchange cookies if all goes according to plan. So that's pretty nice. Exciting. It was a good time. So I know Carson's listening, appreciate the hospitality, and that's a sweet setup you got over there. And your cat was really cool. The one that was out and more social. Not usually a cat guy, but it was a friendly one. It's like, what are you gonna do? This cat wants to be my friend. Like, I'm friendly, I'll take a friendly cat. And so that was fun.
Potato's pretty cool.
Who?
Jesse and Jamie's cat's named Potato.
That's right. Yeah.
Got a little more used to Potato, and Potato's all right.
Yeah, I forgot. I forgot about little Potato that and how Potato got their name. That's great. So it was a fun night. And then Sunday, we just kind of hung out and watched a Hawks game, which was unfortunate, but Tyler made some awesome casserole. And then Friday was the night we set up the Christmas tree. That's right.
Oh, nice.
So I didn't remember, because this year for my gift, I didn't help at all. I just put on Home Alone 2 and just laid on the couch so she could decorate it, because that's way more her specialty. And the tree looks great. Like, it was nice. We weren't in each other's way. And then she crushed it. So yeah, the holiday season's in full swing down here. And yeah, cookies are on the way in the next couple days. Getting pretty excited.
I either get real tree or do the tinsel tree.
Okay.
Like, I almost don't want to say it on the cast because I want to impress Cobb, but I got a half tree.
What? Dude, nice.
It arrives Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Arrives. It's getting dropped off.
Yeah. So it's like half a tree. So it backs up to the wall.
Wait, it's half a tree the long way?
Correct.
Hot dog style half?
Bro, what? I thought you were talking about like the top cut off of a tree. And I was like, yeah, I worked at a Christmas tree farm. I kind of get how the half trees work.
Well,
that's
listen,
cool,
it's,
man.
It's fake. For full disclosure. It's fake tree.
Dude, but it's a vertically split half tree that backs to a wall.
Yes.
That is honestly perfect for your apartment.
Right? Yeah, that's perfect. I was like, this is great.
I almost can't believe this thing's real. Dude, I'm more excited now that you told me than I would have been coming in and just seeing it cold.
All right. Well, as long as I'm bragging about stuff you guys like. Also, Sunday, trying to remember. Anyhow, Sunday was like a thing. Like, we were going to go over to Sean's. We're going to watch some football, right? But Sean had a friend in town. Matt, you remember Tanch?
Yep.
So Tanch was in town.
Awesome.
I was... entertaining I was entertaining Saturday night. So
Dad, you make it sound worse, dude.
Do I?
Every time. Yeah. You're like, trying to make it smooth. It's like, God, dude, I'm like, now I can only imagine what kind of crazy, you know, eyes wide shut sex party you're having at your house. Like,
it was entertaining,
if you know what I mean. Jesus, too easy.
I should have just felt like I was having drinks with a chick. So yeah. The point is that like I wasn't out with the boys, so like Saturday, like I know, like I knew how the weekend was going to go. So Sunday, I'm fired up, right? So I told Mike Hawk, I said, "You and your girl, I said, you meet me at my house at 10 a.m. I'll be bright eyed, bushy tail, ready to go. We'll start watching Red Zone." He's like, he calls me on the way. He goes, "We're going to stop for breakfast." I was like, "No. Like I'm bored watching. Like I'm by myself. Red Zone's about to start. Come by the house. Fire up 6 eggs, scrambled, pound of turkey bacon." Tater tots, because it's what I had for a potato option. Old Bay hot sauce. Boom. We watch a couple hours. Red Zone. We got a nice little breakfast base. Couple drinks. Go to Costco. Pinwheels.
Whoa.
Big old bag of chips.
Get it.
Right. Thing of small chocolate chip cookies.
You know like what it is.
Oh, man. Get to the house. I mean, it's just an easy setup. And I swear to God, I have pinwheels from every store I go to. Those Costco ones are easily the best.
They're so much better. Dude, possibly the biggest, I mean, you got me on not having a car. Possibly the biggest downside of not having a vehicle, no Costco access.
Correct.
Gosh, you're just living like a king, man.
Oh, those pinwheels. And I was like, this is such a hit, right? Because I was like, Sean, look, you're hosting. Don't do anything. We'll be there by 12:30-ish, 1 o'clock for kickoff.
Nice. Yeah.
Nailed it.
God, that's good. And Ted, I did want to ask you, Matt was talking about his weekend. I did want to ask your opinion on this. What are the odds Carson ends up representing Matt at some point, or one of us at some point in a legal capacity? Like that feels like it's coming.
Honestly, Matt, you should give him my cell phone number.
Yeah, give him mine too.
Right? I mean, he already knows where I live and sends us very nice gifts.
Oh, God.
He'll be our California representative. How about that?
Yeah. I don't think the mayor could practice in California.
No, mayor's got us in Oregon, Washington, and Nevada. So like we get California and like that's basically everywhere I go. I need a Texas guy and we're good. And if you're an attorney in Utah, holler at your boy. Just kidding.
Actually, if you're in Utah, I already got you covered, man. The advocates, their first office was in Utah.
There we go. See, so I got one state to go and that's Texas, which should be easy enough. I just need a gunslinger. Texas law guns.
I think it's about that time.
Cobb topic.
Okay, so we were talking about at the beginning of the cast, Elon Musk. He has, you know, a controversial figure, but obviously he has had some major impacts across technology, and some would argue the advancement of the human race. But if nothing else, he's made some major technological leaps forward, whether you're talking about the Boring Company, oh my God, why can I not think the AI where they're hooking it to your brain?
Neuralink,
thank you. Tesla, SpaceX, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. What I wanted to ask you guys and people listening at home is what's something that was supposed to be the next big thing, but absolutely flopped, You hear about it all the time, but what's something that was supposed to be the next big thing, but absolutely flopped? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com, or go to thepodcast.com. See a hilariously bad website. There's two E's on the, maybe I'll try to brush it up in January if you're listening to this later. I don't know, but right now it's December 2022. So what's something that was supposed to be the next big thing, but absolutely flopped? Boys?
I'm looking up something because I can't remember the name of the service.
Go for it, Matt. While he's working.
Well, first, I mean, there was a time where I was thinking Y2K was going to be a fun one. Like, that was the first thing that popped into my mind.
Oh, yeah. That was like supposed to be like end of days.
Yeah, or at least for a while, like it was at least gonna like fuck up for a few months there, and we were gonna, you know, have some interesting times, and yeah, nothing came of it.
Yeah, and I remember people's like main point, they were like, everything runs on computers, man, everything.
Yeah,
but it only uses two digits. Nobody thought about it. Now it's 6 years later and it's 2000.
Somehow
it's
like, dude, all that stuff
was made like in the 90s, basically. Yeah, that was crazy, man. But we were kind of
like a Michael Bay movie or something. Like,
that was a massive one.
I remember being like shocked when the lights stayed on after midnight.
Yeah,
like looking out over the city. I remember being like, wow, still here,
dude. I had just graduated high school the spring before, and I'm working at Town Hall Liquor Store in College Park. So we always had crazy hours, right? We stayed open to like 1:45 every night. So New Year's Eve, we stayed open, I think, till 11 or like 11:30. Then like my cousin Tom and some other dudes, like I kind of knew, they're all going to this party, right? Because everybody's just graduated high school. So yada, yada, yada. I have directions, right? I don't think I have a cell phone yet.
MapQuest?
It might have been MapQuest. Like, I can't remember. I just remember I'm listening to the radio and I'm lost, right? And I can't figure it out. But they're like counting down to the New Year's. And I remember I parked my car like off the main road and I was just sitting there like, what's going to happen? And then nothing happened. I ended up finding the party. It was a blast. Kyle, what I was thinking about was Quibi.
Oh, my God, dude. They put billions of dollars into
billions.
Quibi.
So
Quibi was essentially supposed to be a competitor to YouTube. Was that right?
Or Netflix, because it was a streaming service.
Yeah, it was a streaming service, and they thought they were going to make all this original content. It was a bunch of executives who had just totally, that's what I mean when we were talking earlier about people who are like detached from reality. It's like they just, you know, they were stuck in their own echo chamber and like hyped themselves up with celebrities who were paid around them. And yeah, I think it was, I want to say it was $4.8 billion spent for a service that was around for 2 months. It was something obscene.
Yeah. And it was like I got people talking to me about it, like, you got to start paying attention to this and that. But also, you couldn't find anything out about the shows. Like, they got Reno 911 back together and had a whole series of these 15-minute shows. But, like, they wouldn't put a clip. You couldn't put a clip on Twitter. You couldn't use it on social media. So nobody had any idea what was going on. It launched in April 2020 and was shut down by December of 2020. But, I mean, that's why Quibi, I bring that one up all the time. Like, because, I mean, all those people in those echo chambers, like, can't miss. Even in my industry, this one's going to be massive. Have you heard about this? It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It's Musically or whatever. Yeah, there's so many. But yeah, and there is some legislation now. It sounds like they might actually ban ByteDance. So we'll see. Maybe TalkTick will have its time to shine as the TikTok replacement.
Sure.
No, they're talking about banning TikTok, or ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok. So,
all right, I didn't know what ByteDance was. Yeah,
yeah, they own TikTok, so that's what I'm saying. Mike, could get interesting, boys. So if you're looking to build an app in the next 2 weeks, better get it out quick.
All right, so this will be the last podcast for the year. As always, Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year's. Have some fun. I will say this: if you're like myself and you enjoy a holiday party, just take an Uber, make sure somebody's the DD, it's the holidays, like, you'd hate to see anybody get hurt.
Boys, since it is the holidays, I just, as a, I wouldn't call it a holiday tradition, but in the idea of festivities and stuff around the holidays, what would you guys mind if we just all said one thing we're grateful for from the year? Is that too soft for this cast?
No, just a long year.
It was a long year, boys. Damn. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people had a long year.
Yeah, and it felt like this was going to be like a breakout year after the pandemic. Like, this one was longer. I mean, yeah. It sounds sad if I'm just like, I'm grateful I made it through and everybody, you know, there was some, I mean, obviously there was losses, right? My father, Osiris, but like, you know, got to spend more time with Chris. That's, you know what? That's what I'd say. Through all that bad stuff with, you know, with my dad and stuff, I think it brought Chris and I even closer, my brother.
Yeah, that is a real silver lining to something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's bad to say. I mean, I think that's the reality is people were expecting the pandemic to just end, like that there was going to be a day, you know what I mean? Like victory over Europe day. And we were just kind of like come storming out of quarantine. And it was such a muted, delayed release back into the wild that it sort of, you know, it never felt like there wasn't like a moment when everyone celebrated and they're like, okay, this hurdle is behind us. They're like, hey, this thing could stick around, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of drug on, you know, Matt.
I'm grateful for my health and the health of those around me. You know, that's a slippery slope that, you know, could be a little bit more fleeting than we'd like to realize. And, you know, yeah, the day I turned 36, I saw a totaled Ferrari on one of the streets here. And I was, it was like freshly totaled. And I was just like, whoa, dude, that is wild to think about, you know. But just seeing that, making it through another year was just like, damn, you know, like whatever I thought, you know, making it by a certain age was, you know, it really is really relative. And, you know, you could be cruising in a Ferrari 1 minute and then, you know, glad that you're still walking the next. And also it, yep, seeing it up close like that, it did look like an insurance nightmare, like probably a little stressed about that stuff. But it was like this wild ass like perspective of like, you know, yeah, I think lifting and staying strong is fun and important and stuff. But like just the basic, you know, health abilities that, you know, we maintain our basic functions another year is, you know, pretty big victory in my book.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. For me, I would say, broadly speaking, it's just relationships, you know, other humans, I think, make life a lot more interesting, a lot more fun, creatively inspiring. And of course, you know, the love you get to both put into and take out of those relationships, whether they're romantic or friendship or, you know, even work relationships and just, I don't know, just having people around, even the casual chats you have with your, you know, corner store, your Mart guy. It's like, you know, just all those little things add up and, you know, no man is an island. So I missed that a lot during the pandemic. I feel like my social skills suffered a ton, and getting to build that back a little bit this year was fun. And I felt like, you know, some of my first, it was like a deer on ice, you know, it's like almost a little uneasy to walk, even though I was so used to socializing before, like 3 years, 2 years out of the game, it really changed people both on their side and me. And so I'm just grateful for relationships and to be building some of those back.
Yeah, for sure. I'd also be remiss if I didn't say my highlights of the year were Summer Meltdown in Germany.
Yeah, Summer Meltdown this year was awesome.
Oh, man. So good. It's so funny, as a lot of people were not fans. Like, I don't know, like, Cobb, I don't know that me and you together have thrived like that in years at that festival.
Dude, I was so much
dominated fun. That river.
Oh, my God.
And you know what else, Matt? You know what else? Nobody, and I mean nobody, got scurvy.
Another success. Another thing to be grateful for.
Nobody got scurvy this year.
Oh, yeah. Happy holidays, boys.
Yeah, man. We made Christmas. It. Happy New Year's. Go Terps. They got a bowl game in there.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there.
UW, too, versus Texas.
All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, the Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.